Welcome back, everyone, to the Xamarin Show. I'm so excited. Carol is here. He's my first guest of 2017. Can you believe that?
Wow.
First guest. It's awesome. I am so excited today. Carol is here. He's a dev manager on DocumentDB. I love databases. You love databases. Everybody loves databases. And I know a very little bit about DocumentDB. So I'm super excited for this episode. But first, some of our listeners and watchers may not know who Carol is. So can you give everyone a little bit of rundown of what you do here?
Absolutely. And I'm grateful to be here. It's also always awesome to join your show. I'm Kirill Gavriluk. I worked in Microsoft for some time and a few other places. Some of you may have heard about me from mobile services days. Now I work on Azure DocumentDB. And we have done some cool things together with Xamarin team, and we're excited to show it to you.
Yeah.
It's love, right? And it's all about love. And the true love must be grounded in few tangible reasons, right?
Yeah,
there are no tangible reasons, yeah. It wouldn't last. On Xamarin side, we don't even need to talk about it. Those tangible reasons side, it's an awesome platform.
Yeah, you're on the Xamarin show,
yes,
right?
Exactly. On DocumentDB side, there are a few of them.
Okay.
So DocumentDB is a NoSQL database as a service, right? There are no schema to worry about, no indexes. You just store your data, and we'll walk through these in the demos. It's a very fast database.
Yeah.
It can handle, you can execute requests in a couple milliseconds while ingesting data at the rate of millions requests per second. There is no limit. This is, NoSQL databases are really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's limitless, and it's managed, meaning that we don't ask you to tell us anything about cores or VMs. Just tell us how much requests per second you need. And we'll honor it.
So kind of like in the fact that if once, let's say you get, a million users, well, I need to scale that up. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Exactly.
Like the request
exactly. Yeah. You don't need to tell us, how do I translate million users into cores?
Got it.
Right?
Okay.
There is none of that business. It's global. Mm-hmm. So if you have an app that has users across the globe, you can tell us with a click on a map, where do you want your data to be replicated? And we can replicate across 30-something Azure regions across the world. With just one click.
Cool.
And so your data will be where your users are.
Got it.
No matter where they are. And there are some few really cool features I'm going to show off that are specific to mobile. For example, we have built-in geospatial queries.
Yeah.
Which is, there are lots of apps using geospatial. We have built-in binary attachment support, right? So you don't need to worry about multiple data stores to store your blobs, to store your structured data or semi-structured data. You can just use one SDK and we'll take care of. Should we put this into storage? Should we put it in line? We have all those smarts built in. So, but let's jump in, right? Just enough of the slides.
Yeah, so this is kind of like your overall view of what DocumentDB is. So now, DocumentDB, I'm so used to SQL. Like I've been SQL driven. I use SQLite on mobile. And I know about NoSQL solutions that are out there. So DocumentDB, is that our SQL solution, a NoSQL solution? Are there other ones? Or like how does DocumentDB fit into the databases of the world out there? Like give me the elevator pitch that's kind of like the feature list, but why would someone choose a NoSQL solution of DocumentDB versus saying a SQL solution that I'm so really, I'm used to like, I got my schemas and I got my index, like everything, like, and I got to migrate and I got to do like, is everything that I just said why you would go with a NoSQL solution?
It's, in many cases, it's not either or.
Okay.
Just you use the tools that is right for the job.
Okay.
So there are a number of use cases out there, for example, IoT, or user profiles, or retail, where you have the common, like all of these, they have common trends.
Mm-hmm.
Data is changing fast.
Yeah.
The data structure is changing fast. If anyone has ever done alter table on a SQL database that has terabytes of data,
not fun.
You know, it's not fun.
Not fun.
NoSQL were designed to solve this problem.
Okay.
Right? So Azure DocumentDB, there is no alter schema. There is no schema to
just
alter.
Push some stuff
in. Just push stuff in.
I like that.
There tends to be a lot of data.
Okay.
And with DocumentDB, we follow scale-out architecture as opposed to traditional relational databases that tend to scale up.
Okay.
And the difference is scale-up, meaning you push a lot of RAMs. And that was great when you own the box and you can buy a bigger box and then bigger box, then you'll run into a dead end. With DocumentDB, first you don't run all boxes, we manage it. And we can scale out limitlessly. Mm-hmm. We partition your data and we keep adding and adding and adding. And you can grow to petabytes of data, and your performance does not change.
Oh, that's nice.
That's
the
important part, right? You can shove data into us at million requests per second, and while the latency still stays in single-digit milliseconds, at 99th percentile, for those of you guys who care, it's
the nitty-gritty statistics.
Yeah, exactly.
Of it, right?
But that's thanks to that architecture where there is no schema to manage.
Okay.
There are no relationships to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we can scale out and scale out and scale
out. Super fast.
At the same time, it's not our intent with creating the DocumentDB was to not make it completely foreign.
Okay.
To a large number of developers who were brought up on relational databases.
Yeah, it should feel kind of familiar.
So it's not no to SQL.
Okay.
It's not only.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's a not only SQL,
okay.
Right?
Got it.
So we give you can change the schema, 3 Vs we call them. Variability or veracity of data, volume of data, and velocity.
Okay.
We can adjust it at high speed. Yeah. But at the same time, it's SQL, and I'll show you in the demo. So let's jump into the portal.
I'm super excited, because DocumentDB is not new. It's been around for a long time.
Yep.
But what you're showing is a brand new SDK for Xamarin, essentially the Xamarin Love that the DocumentDB team has been working on. And I think a lot of our developers are going to be brand new to this entire concept, because I'm used to going in, selecting a mobile app, selecting a SQL database. This is probably their first time, so I would love to see everything, just that full walkthrough. What does it mean to create a DocumentDB? What does it mean to connect to it? So go, that's it. I'm going to stop talking.
Awesome.
Just hit
all
me.
Right.
I'll poke from time to time, but this is all new to me.
Please
I'm super
do.
Excited.
Please do. So first, let's create, right?
Yep.
So we always start with...
We love the Azure portal.
Portal.
There's 1,000 options here.
That's right, but well, let's pick one.
All right.
Let's go to databases. It is a database.
Okay.
And we have a number of databases, and one of them is NoSQL Database as a Service, which is a DocumentDB. And we ask you a couple questions, like what's the name of this thing and which API do you want to use?
Mm-hmm.
DocumentDB is a NoSQL as a service, and we are not religious about the APIs.
Okay.
So we can offer you, or you can use DocumentDB SDKs, native API, or if you like Mongo, and Mongo has a fantastic API, many people love Mongo APIs, we give you Mongo API.
Oh, okay.
And we support it at the protocol level.
Yeah.
So you can take, there's the gazillions of MongoDB SDKs out there, they all work against DocumentDB. You can use the tools of your choice and just direct to DocumentDB. The tool doesn't even know anything about DocumentDB, but it'll just work.
Could you import an existing Mongo database into it? Like,
absolutely.
Here's all my data.
We can actually do it after we complete,
cool.
if we have time.
Yeah.
After we complete with Xamarin, I can show you how I'll use Mongo Chef and just copy data from a Mongo to DocumentDB.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
So that's pretty much it. The rest of this is standard Azure stuff, which part of the world you want to host it. So I created one right here. Right, it's called Xamarin. No one else picked yet the name. So
unique name for your
company. Okay, so this is my account. DocumentDB offers you for new customers, new developers. It offers you quick starts, right?
Okay,
and we have a Xamarin quick start where we're gonna create a collection. DocumentDB stores data in collections.
So is that kind of like your table, or is that?
It's no, it's interesting.
I need to stop
it's
thinking
great.
That way.
Yeah, okay. No, it's good. So it's. It's very attractive to think about it as a tables.
Okay.
And in fact, collections in Mongo database is like tables, at least they ask you to think about them.
Okay.
With DocumentDB, from the performance and transactional characteristics, it's more like a database.
Okay.
Because you can store, in the same collection, you can store all types of structures of data.
Oh.
You can store any types of documents.
Puppies and kitties and monkeys,
exactly.
any data. Shove it in there.
And that collection can grow infinitely. And you can transactionally, for example, submit. We support transactions, and transaction scope is around that collection.
Okay.
So you cannot have spun transactions across multiple collections. Mm-hmm. That's where the difference is.
Okay, gotcha.
Right.
Yeah,
but otherwise, yes, you can for quick start purposes, we're gonna get some. So let's say create item collection. Our quick start is Hello World of the Day, so it's to-do list.
Gotta have to-do lists. Yeah, it's everyone's favorite. It's, I mean, it really gets the point across of exactly how it works. So.
Yeah, and we probably need to invent something new because it's been, we've been using it for 5 years now. So we have to-do list, and it's Xamarin Forms app.
Okay.
Very simple, right?
So where did you get this from? Out
of the gate. So I just clicked this download button.
Oh, you click download.
Yeah.
And it just, you add
and you download it. And you download the, once you create a collection and click download, that quick start, that to-do list is connected to your DocumentDB account.
So nothing else to set up.
Nothing
literally
else to set up. You just
it,
download it,
it
unzip it, and run.
Boom.
And in fact, I already launched it, just so that we save time.
Knew it works.
Right? Yeah. But see, it's already connected to my xamarin.documents.azure.com, right? It has my account key. We'll talk about security in a minute,
great,
right? But on the surface, it's to-do lists. The CRUD operations are familiar, right? It's well, we have create query, and we have language integrated query, our link provider, right? So you can do queries, and we can query, filter out everything that is not complete yet. Create document async. Again, you pass a collection identifier, and you enter a document, etc.
So you're creating a document, and a document is an item that you're storing in the collection.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, so it's like you're inserting this.
So far, nothing tremendously different from what you would expect, right?
CRUD operations.
But it's CRUD operation. Normal cache, and our data model, since it's C#, we defined a type. You could just shove JSON in it. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
We don't care whether it's typed or not typed. Now let's actually add a document. So let's add a to-do item.
Okay.
How many times did we type get milk?
All the time.
Yeah.
Let's usually get lettuce, get salad, get
Exactly. So we have. Okay. So we created one to-do item. Now when it becomes interesting is, I want to version my app, right?
Mm-hmm.
I may have, now most apps have like 10 versions out there.
Yeah.
And they all use slightly different data variations. And that's where it gets really hard with SQL, because now you need to think about versioning problems, not only in your client app, but also on the backend.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to update your backend, make it version friendly. You need to alter the schema,
make sure that
the schema is right.
Clients have the same correct version. They're hitting the right endpoint. It's complicated really
So let's quick. Add right here, right? Yeah. Let's add priority field.
Okay.
All right, so let's add priority field and let's set it. Where we create documents, let's set priorities. Priority, let's always set it to one. Everything is important.
Everything's important.
That's which is life, right? It's always everything is very important. And let's run this up again. I did not have to change anything on the backend.
Yeah,
there is no backend. It's just database.
No, it's just database.
My client talks directly to the database, right?
Oh, and so I didn't have there to is no like there is no
tier,
server.
Right? There's
no
server.
It's not talking to any. It's just literally.
It's just talking database to the database.
Oh.
Yep. And so let's add another one. All right. Let's go back to our portal, and we have nice Explorer here just to. For debugging purposes.
Yep.
Right? You can see. So we have our first one was get milk. So that's all fine, right? Three properties, right?
Yep.
The second one was from a V2 of our app. Now it has priority. But I did not have to do anything. No changes in this. There is no schema to worry about.
Yeah.
Right? There's no middle tier to update. Just
Got
the
it.
App. Just it, two versions of the app can work simultaneously against the same, and the queries work exactly the same. I do not have to update any indexes. Everything is indexed by default with DocumentDB. And indexes is work in terms of pass expressions. So whether the particular JSON object has that field or doesn't have that field, doesn't matter.
Okay, got it.
We'll index if it's there. If it's not there, we'll assume it's not there.
Yeah. Now at this point, the priority doesn't exist. And if I go update it, I could set the priority. It would update the existing one, just like you would expect. Again, so you would add the new.
The app, whatever the app wants to do with the old items, right?
Yeah, and then your app, for instance, since it's an, I saw that you made it a nullable int, is that kind of best practice of, I'm adding a new field so it's nullable?
I mean, we don't solve the versioning on the client still exists,
It still
right?
exists, yeah.
You want to talk to your old, you want to be able to load your old data.
Yeah.
You can either add a version field or you can make your items nullable,
Makes
whatever
sense.
Suits your scenario.
It's easy peasy, just like, is there a priority?
Exactly.
If so, then continue.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But what is solved is there is no schema to update on the server, there is no versioning nightmare on the server to deal with, and there is no middle tier that that you need to sweat about.
So inside the mobile app, how did you get that? You downloaded it? Is it just a NuGet package, or what was installed in this project?
Oh yes, it's a NuGet package. Okay. Right, so it's right here. We have, where is that word?
Yeah, probably in
here, right? So we have packages and Microsoft Azure DocumentDB.core.
So even if you already have an existing project, you could just add the DocumentDB NuGet package and boom.
Yep, precisely. Oh. Right. And it's a .NET core package. We needed to do a few modifications at Threat and work to make sure that it really works nicely with Xamarin.
Got it.
But it's the same package that you use in the USP.NET Core.
Oh, okay. So yeah, just a .NET standard library, and it can be open and that's pretty nice. Right. That's pretty nice.
So that's what's to-do list. Now, the first question usually we get after we can narrow it down. Okay, so we understand collections. We understand that we can store different types of documents in the collection. Mm-hmm. There's no schema. That's nice. There is link still. So it's not foreign, right? It's still SQL. In fact,
So it looks SQL-ish, right? I'm inserting, I'm doing this thing.
If I go, we have this Query Explorer right here, right? And if I choose it and I can run, it's still SQL queries.
SQL queries, yeah.
Yeah, there's no, so
that's
it's
nice,
not completely foreign.
Okay, yeah. Well, look at all this stuff.
If you like Mongo better, we have Mongo. Mm. If you like, we have JavaScript query language.
And that's what DocumentDB is bringing into it, is like, hey, we can just execute these SQL queries against your NoSQL.
We took T-SQL, augmented it a little bit with this objective thing, so you can do inner joints over nested arrays. There's like a bunch of interesting stuff. We added geospatial stuff in there, so like all of that in there.
Yeah.
But it's not foreign to, so it's easy to start with.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You need to learn new things.
Got it.
Reasonably natural.
That's cool.
Now, that's data model. That's all great. Security, right?
Yeah.
So
I got
right
a few
here.
Questions. Security for sure, because I see this account key and it scares
me. Yes, it should scare you, because if we publish this into the App Store, we basically gave anyone in the world keys to our house.
Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah, everyone just they get a new awesome database that you're paying for.
Yeah. So let's do, let's note this.
Okay.
Let's go through a few more concepts in DocumentDB.
Okay.
And let's get back to security.
Security
and how
last,
we solve it,
maybe,
right?
Yeah. So one question I have for you is, inside the application, the SDK, does it create a database locally on my iOS application? Like, does it handle an online offline scenario?
That's a great idea. I knew it does.
That's what I'm curious about, right?
Doesn't yet.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, we have not yet built in offline support for this thing. Mm-hmm. So you have to have your own instance of SQLite or whatever you like.
Okay.
And then querying data is not hard, so folks have done it many times before. Updating, it's getting a little trickier in offline scenarios and dealing with conflict resolutions.
Sure.
It's the next thing to solve.
Yeah, makes sense.
Definitely.
But I could see if you're like, oh, I need to download this huge file right now. I need to download this huge amount of data into my phone, or you're making a real-time application, a game, for instance, that's reporting and sending information to the database in real time. That's where DocumentDB really shines, because you're just nonstop inserting, deleting, doing all those CRUD operations.
Yep.
And then if you need to store some of it, because that's the thing is, when you talk about big data and you talk about, DocumentDB can give you all this data, right? So, I mean, you don't want to download 10 gigs to your phone, right? You need to be probably selective of what you're actually storing locally.
Yep. Got it.
Interesting. Okay. That's good.
Just let's cover a couple more fundamental concepts about DocumentDB, and then jump into security and how do we filter data, right?
Gotcha,
So we'll go into how do we add users to our app.
Yeah.
Kind of a few other concepts is, if we go to overview, and let's say you create a new collection, right? Mm-hmm. Quick start kind of was a tailored experience. You click a button, you have a collection. We just picked some defaults to make it the cheapest possible to not write in your way. But here's a full kind of here's how you create collections in DocumentDB, right? You can do it through APIs or PowerShell or CLI. But we ask you for a name, and we are a managed service. We don't ask you for any kind of cores or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We just tell you, okay, how much initial storage capacity you want us to provision, and we'll grow over time. If you need more over time, we'll just keep growing.
Got it.
And what throughput you need? How many requests per second?
Requests per second. Yeah.
Is it thousands? Is it hundreds of thousands? Millions? hundreds of millions. That's the nice thing about DocumentDB is there is really no limit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure at some billions of requests per second, there are some network limits. But there is no realistic limit. And we use it, we introduce, kind of, we ask this question in terms of REUs, request units. And the request unit is the, it's a unit of throughput that encapsulates all the resources are needed to serve an operation.
Okay.
One request unit is sufficient to serve one read operation of 1K data entry, 1K document.
Yeah.
As the document grows, number of request units that you need to serve requests for a larger document is slightly bigger. It's not linear. It's it's fair. Yeah. So it's gonna, but it grows. If you need more complex inserts, for example, an insert of 1K document costs 5 request units.
Mm.
But everything costs request units. It's very, we have, we can actually try, we have a local emulator. You can download and you can run your workload and see how many request units you need.
Got it.
You can also try against every with every request that you execute will return back the charge.
Okay.
So you provision, if you tell us, let's say we have here 10,000, that's 10,000 requests per second.
Yes. Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot, right?
That's
so
a lot,
so you can, you don't have to start there.
Yeah.
You can start with 400 is the minimal. And 400 requests per second of 1K documents is still quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Yeah, that's a lot.
Right?
That's 3 cents.
Yeah, that's per 3 cents per hour. So it's $24 per month.
Now, is that the 3 cents per hour? Is that saying if I have 400 requests per second, then it will be 3 cents per hour? Is that like the maximum? Or is that, let's say no one uses my app for an hour. Is it free?
No, it's provisioned.
Okay, so got it.
This
got
is the, your contract with us is you give us how much throughput you need and we guarantee it.
Okay, got
we
it.
We have guaranteed with 4.9 SLAs.
Got it, okay.
So it doesn't matter how much data you have. Yep. We will ensure that you, it was 99.99%.
This is your quality level.
This is your, this is why we can't just quite do this, okay, you a million comes up and the next day it's a second. We you provision and we guarantee it.
Got it.
And it
makes sense.
Each RU we guarantee that that's predictable performance. It's till the end of time. It's better than US dollar.
Yeah.
One request unit will always serve one read of 1K document. No matter what happens.
No matter how much
data you have.
So really, no matter where your users are coming from or what type of data or whatever it is, like this is your guarantee, this is what's happening.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's really nice when you think about storing all sorts of different data and the complexity and all this stuff. Like it's like, well, this is exactly how long it will take and this is the guarantee.
Yeah. If you have a popular app and you want it to be snappy, you kinda need this.
Yeah.
You need this low latency. Mm. Now let's talk about latency, right? I have this so this account endures quite a bit of requests. Right now, and let's look
little
at
little Contoso. Got to have some Contoso.
Yeah. It's kind of ironically called Mini. Let me go to the one. Yeah, so it's loading, and you can see the number of requests is so it's kind of millions, right?
Yeah, millions of requests.
Hundreds of millions, and the latency stays around 2 milliseconds, 4 milliseconds. This is the kind of that's the qualities that we promise.
Not even close to the SLA, way under the SLA. That's crazy.
So we guarantee below 10 milliseconds at 99th percentile.
Wow.
So 99% of the time it will be below 10 milliseconds. Most of the time it will be around 2 milliseconds.
Yeah.
So that's our guarantees. We're also a global database, right? So we are fast, we can scale, and we guarantee you we give you predictable performance. And we are global. So if you need if your users, let's say in Japan, you just click on a map.
And these are all the regions.
We'll replicate. These are all Azure regions. And we'll replicate your data across the world, whatever regions you choose, transparently to you. You won't even notice it. And the users will enjoy the same low latency, no matter where they are.
Yeah. Now, if I have a user in Japan, it no longer has to go all the way back to the United States to get the data. Now, is that, when you replicate it, is it replicating it read-only, or is it read-write, or how does DocumentDB handle that type of thing?
Yeah. So all these dark blue regions are read regions.
Okay.
And this is a write region.
Got it. Makes sense.
Now, you can specify failover properties.
Mm.
So let's say you have a global app, and you have users all over the world.
Yeah.
Now, you can follow the sun. you can fail over from here to here as the sun goes, and you wherever the peak of your usage is, that's where your write region is.
Got it. Oh.
Failing over is very easy operation with DocumentDB.
Got it. Okay.
So you can programmatic, you can set up a programmatic failover policy that will just follow the sun and fail over as your usage rotates around the,
very
around
cool.
the world.
And you just click that thing and it just did it. Done.
I need to say, hit save.
Save. Oh, yeah, so you got to hit save.
It'll take some time. I mean, it's not.
I was like, whoa, that was fast. That was amazing.
There are laws of physics.
Yes.
So it takes some time to. But once the initial data set is replicated, subsequent, it's a speed of light.
Very cool.
So that level of turnkey geo-distribution, there's not that many. Yeah. Databases out there that can do it. The other part is that even if you don't need to go global, you just want to be sure that your app still works if Meteorite hits one of the Azure regions.
Yeah, if something goes down, you get failover, you get this, it's all good no matter what.
Yeah, you just specify the priority of your, the region's priority, and we'll fail you over automatically if something goes wrong.
And for that, is there a tier that you have to select, or is this automatic?
It's built in.
I'm thinking some of our developers may be used to the Azure Mobile App Sample, where you're like, oh, I'm going to be a S1 bucket or a B1 bucket.
No, it's just there.
Because again, you're just going to the database.
Exactly. There's only one currency, which is request units.
That's nice. There's one takeaway from today. There's one currency request units are used. Cool. Nice.
So it's also the key kind of basic concepts, right? Mm-hmm. And all of this is backed by 4.9 SLAs. Mm-hmm. It's built into the culture. As a dev manager, it's painful to maintain that SLA, but it's a promise, and it's a promise we keep. They're large. Many of our customers are very large apps or websites or IoT solutions.
Yeah.
Pump a lot of data.
Yeah.
They kind of care, and the rigor is achieved that we were able to make updates even during Black Friday. Weeks.
Yeah.
And our retail customers did not notice.
Didn't know, it just happened. Yeah. I've noticed that over time of shopping. It seems like websites have gotten better and like all this stuff just because I think the technology and the scale of all this stuff. Yeah. I mean, I could imagine it's like, okay, when midnight happens and then the rollout and the failover, even probably times, time zone, right?
We had to build up a rigor, but that's
pretty cool.
So it's also the core concepts. Now let's get back to security.
Yeah, I'm super interested.
So we still have that key, right? And it's frightening, and it's in the app. Let's remove it from the app. We have a sample on GitHub that shows you how to do it. What we want to do is we want to add users to our app, and we want to make sure that the user can only access his to-do items and not someone else's.
Yeah, right? Very common scenario.
Natural design. Yeah. Desire. So let's go back to our and look at our collections. I created another collection, user items.
Okay.
And the difference is that this collection, once it loads, this collection has a partition key.
Okay.
So there's the other important part that I haven't told you, it's partition keys. When we say that we guarantee you throughput, no matter how much data you have, we ask you for one thing, which is a partition key.
Okay.
It's your, we expect that you pick a partition key so that your data is distributed evenly across the value space of partition keys.
Okay.
So user, in our case, user ID is an actual partition key, right?
Yeah.
Because no matter, now that we have a partition key, user ID, no matter how many users your app has, we can evenly distribute your requests and evenly distribute data across our physical partitions behind the scenes.
Okay.
We maintain that guarantee of the throughput.
Got it.
If you pick the wrong partition key, no matter how we try, we are not going to give you that throughput that you entered. Only enter the throughput assuming you pick the partition key with even distribution.
Got it. Okay.
So user ID is the partition key here. The way what we're going to achieve is in this demo is we're going to add users to our app, and we're going to make them log in using Facebook.
Yep.
Kind of standard stuff. You can use Active Directory. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Anything.
Any of the normal OAuth providers, your own OAuth,
We're going to add one element, which is resource token broker.
Okay.
Now, right now, it's a separate thing that you have to add and host it in an app service or anywhere. You can host it anywhere. So what it does is that it authenticates the app using Facebook or any OAuth, and it's Once the user is authenticated, it requests DocumentDB for a resource token for that user.
Okay.
Resource tokens are like shared access signatures, if you're familiar with storage. Mm-hmm. The only thing is, so it's a short-lived token that gives some rights to the requester. The interesting thing about resource tokens is that resource tokens can carry access, the rights to access to a single document, to all documents within a given partition key,
okay,
like for all documents for a given user, or entire collection.
Okay.
And the write could be read-only or could be read-write.
Okay.
So there is more flexibility.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so you're really in control of that finite. This user, yes. I think of a team, or you may have a dev manager. A dev manager can modify this stuff, but the intern can only read it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But
exactly.
Both of them only get access to it if they're logged in and I've granted
it,
essentially.
Exactly.
So this is a very, very common flow that developers will be used to, because I've done this all the time with Azure Mobile Apps, even without Azure Mobile Apps, right? You need to log in, you got to get a token, and then that's your magical... your secret sauce. You don't have to embed anything in your application. It's like, yeah, Facebook or Azure AD or whatever has granted me that access.
Yep.
Yeah, so
that's
cool. Yep. Makes sense. This all makes sense to me.
That's all. And so once the resource token is issued to the app, it can now access the logged in user's data.
Got it.
And cannot access anything else. Oh, okay. And that's enforced. That authorization is enforced by built-in authorization layer in the database.
Okay.
So it's fast. It's that's you, again, you don't have to have a middle tier.
Yeah.
It's built in. And it's pretty flexible. So that's how we achieve pre-user data. Now let's take a look at the code that you have to write on the client. Let's get out of our quick start and open something more realistic, which is the app. Let me pick the right to do. I managed to make the same mistake all the time. I call them the same
thing. Same name, yeah. Sometimes it's in my getting started, I literally have the same app four times. Demo one. Yeah.
So it's the same app. I just added users to it. And you have to log in. So there is some dance around login that we do because we have to talk to Facebook, and we have to talk to the, and we use your Xamarin Auth library.
Okay.
Right. So kind of we do the dance with Facebook and AppService. And once we get the token, we get back the resource token, and with resource token, we can create document client. Notice now document client there is account URL still, but there is no secret in the app, right? So the app is safe to deploy to the store. As far as the CRUD is concerned, it's the same thing. So the only difference is now when I query, I just need to pass the user ID as a partition key.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's all. And if I don't pass it, I'll just get back access denied because I'm trying to query too much.
Yep, makes sense.
I'm query more than I'm entitled to. If I and same thing when I'm inserting, as long as this to-do item has the user ID in it, I'm good.
Good.
If it's not there or if the wrong user ID is there, I'll get access denied because I'm trying to insert into someone else's to-do list.
Got it. Okay.
So it's all managed by the database. I don't have to worry about it.
Easy.
So that's how we add users.
Right? Got it.
Now, finally, it was nice, but it's not specific to mobile still, right? It's OAuth flows. I mean, web apps have OAuth flows, right? Let's do something that is specific to mobile.
Sure.
So let's pick the. We talked about geospatial a little bit, right?
Yeah. So, and to me, how I understand geospatial and kind of when I think of the user flow is, I imagine that my users are logging in all over the world. So maybe there's people in Japan, maybe there's people here. And if I have user-specific data, it would be really nice if that user-specific data was in the region closest to them. Is that kind of geospatial?
Well, there are two aspects, yes. Yeah. So there is the geo-distribution, where we ensure that the data is wherever your users are.
Yes.
So that is done through our replication behind the scenes. You don't need to worry about it. The user, if you clicked on the map,
boom,
it'll be there.
Got it.
And SDK is smart. We have this Discovery multi-homing API, which is SDK, whatever it's connect from, it will get connected to the right region, the nearest region to it.
Okay.
It expresses preferences. Hey, I'm in Japan.
Yeah.
And we'll connect you to the region the closest to it.
Yeah, it's smart. Yeah.
Right. We also support in the database GeoJSON, geospatial types. So let's take a look.
Got it.
While we let's launch this app, and while it's getting, I actually took your sample region definer.
Okay.
And I added a couple things to it. So let's see. I hope you'll like it. So let's go. Here I have a data set that I got from USGS about earthquakes.
Oh, okay, cool.
All over the world. And it comes with, you know, a bunch of information and the GeoJSON types, data types, right? This coordinates, altitude, but rather depth in this case. What I do with it is I want to draw a polygon. Let me zoom in, zoom out rather. I want to draw a polygon, and then I'm going to want to get all the earthquakes that happened within that polygon.
Okay.
Right. So let's do the polygon. Took me a while to figure out how to do long press on the simulator.
Yeah. Boom. Okay.
And that's your guys' sample,
yeah,
like, but augmented.
Yep.
So now that I have a polygon, I want to get earthquakes.
So you're saying, yeah, give me only earthquakes
within
inside
that
this
polygon
region.
Yeah.
And you're saying that you just sent a query to the back end.
To DocumentDB. I'm going to send the polygons that I defined to DocumentDB. Give me all the records within that polygon.
That's cool.
Let's take a look at that query. Because
yeah, like
I
basically
think that
any
is...
map program, anytime, or even just if you want to, you know, something like something finding restaurants, something like that, you know the current coordinate, find me something around that. That's crazy.
So let's take a look at the, all I added was the repository class right here.
Okay.
That connects to DocumentDB.
Yep.
And this is a query. So here's my data model. Again, the C#, so I just generated something from JSON.
Yeah, a bunch of JSON.
Right, bunch of stuff here. And so I have this geometry, I made it called location.
Mm-hmm.
But now if I go back to the query, we have geospatial queries built in into Link.
Quake.
Quake.location, this is my type. There is no custom functions, nothing. This is DocumentDB query. I call location.within, and I pass the polygon.
Got it.
It happens automatically on the server. That's all I needed to do.
Wow, that's cool.
There is no, it's like if you don't have this in your layer, and I dreamed about it when we did mobile services, and we couldn't quite get it done from the client all the way. We had it in SQL deep inside, but we couldn't quite plumb it all the way to the client.
Yeah.
Now I have it.
Yeah.
Now we have it built in, and it's nice thing about it is this. I'm gonna shake it into GitHub because it's read only data for the sample.
Yeah.
I'll just put read only key and check it in with a key, so people don't have to do anything. People
Got
can just
it.
Get it from GitHub and play with it.
Nice.
So it's gonna be by the time this airs, this will be in.
We'll put it in the show notes
GitHub.
Below.
Yeah. And. And you have the data. And so like what the sample does is that I have a job that synchronizes my data set with USGS feed.
Yeah.
So you always have fresh data about earthquakes.
Yep.
And you can query it.
And then boom.
And get spent like for All example, you know, some of your friends are in California, and I was thinking that I could use this app to convince them to move.
Yeah.
Because you know, you just move there.
I have a feeling that there's quite a few more.
Yeah, it just gets crazy. Let's reset it, and let's move out a little.
Yeah, most of the Xamarins are over in the San Francisco area.
Yeah, so let's do something around San Francisco. How is it going there?
About to find out.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah, a little bit more.
They need to move.
Yeah. All on a specific line, I see there.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, you can do. There are lots of things we can do. There is like you should look at the Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Like all that fracking. It's very interesting. That's where there you go. Right. So it's a database that it's a managed service, super fast, global, geodistributed. You don't have to worry. Like, a lot of it's done for you.
Yeah.
And you can connect to it securely directly from the app.
Got it.
No middle tier required. Yeah. And has built-in geospatial queries, attachments, everything that mobile developers typically need from a data store.
So really,
that's why we're so excited about this.
Yeah. And that link query is just super cool because it feels really natural, right? It's like, oh, within this area or within this certain region or wherever I'm at, right? It feels like it was... belongs, you know, it belongs right there. I want everything to have that in it now. That's really cool. Awesome. So where can people go to learn more? It seems like you have some samples To learn more about DocumentDB and, of course,
absolutely,
learn about
the SDK. So go to the, just look us up using your favorite search engine.
Just Google it, yeah, right? Or Bing it, or whatever you want to do.
You can see
so literally DocumentDB, yeah, since DocumentDB. It's our NoSQL solution.
It's our NoSQL solution. It's so. Right there. You can start, we have a local, pretty high, very high fidelity local emulator
that
you can download and try it.
So try
you don't
locally.
Have to, yeah, you don't have to sign up for Azure or pay anything. And just play with it. There's documentation right here. There is, for large customers, there is TCO analysis comparing to Mongo and Cassandra. If you're familiar with Mongo and Cassandra, think about it. Here's a managed database that it scales as well or better as Cassandra, but is as rich as Mongo.
Got it. Yeah.
That's kind of how to think about
Very
it.
Very cool.
And you go to documentation. There's all kinds of samples there. Get started. You can look at the different things. You can learn about what is NoSQL, why NoSQL, different scenarios.
And then essentially the Xamarin documentation, since it's the same SDK that .NET Core would be using. You just look at the .NET Core documentation.
Same
it's the same API.
Same API.
You're just adding a NuGet package to your Xamarin application.
Exactly.
Supports iOS, Android, UWP?
Yep.
UWP, so your Xamarin forms, all the platforms.
Yeah. We don't quite support Xamarin forms portable.
Okay.
We support shared libraries.
Shared libraries.
Yeah, portable is, we're working on it.
Working on it, okay.
Some the PCL, the NuGet is not PCL yet.
Yeah. I mean, eventually when we all move over to the .NET standard world, one day we'll get there. But yeah, I do a lot of shared projects myself. I just got this question recently is, between which one? I like them both, but yeah, sometimes it's easy just to add that. Or, you know, add the shared project, make a interface, right? And then it's just like a few lines of code, a little shim wrapper around it.
Yep.
So there's ways to do it, super simple. Awesome samples. Carol, this is awesome. This is so cool. I had no idea what you're going to show me. I'm blown away. I love it. Thank you for coming on the Xamarin Show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Awesome. Until next time, I'm James Montemagno, and this has been the Xamarin Show.